Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and a great lineup for you these 2 hours today. Second hour, Carlo Broussard's going to be here, and we're going to do the Bible blueprint for the Eucharist. Yeah, it is in there. A great deal to draw on in the Bible for the Eucharist. And so if you like Carlo or if you like the Eucharist, which actually I hope it's both, we'll see a second hour for that. This hour, we're going to talk about knowing God's will for you, and our guest is Father Mike Schmitz, and I'm sure you probably have heard his name. Father is the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Diocese of Duluth, as well as the chaplain for the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He's also an internet sensation because of his online videos for Ascension Presents, and he's a much sought-after speaker for youth conferences. Father Mike Schmitz, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Did I get all that right? Did that all seem right?
I don't know about the adjectives or the rankings of stuff. So other than that, are the things that I do.
The nouns and verbs worked for you. It's just the modifiers
the
you weren't so
verbs,
sure.
The subjects and objects were like really, really accurate.
Okay.
I am a priest. I live in Duluth.
Yep.
Yes.
fair enough. I'm sure... There's a lot of wonderful people in this world, and many of them young people. Maybe this is particularly an affliction of the young, that they really truly want to do God's will, but they find themselves uncertain about God's plan for them, whether God has a plan for them, and how will I know God's plan for me when it comes around. So what can you tell me about that? How can we identify God's will for us?
Actually, I think it's not just an age question, because it's a constant question, right? It's what's God want me to do right now? If we really dial it back to what is the heart of a saint? Like, what's that at the heart of being a saint? What is the heart of being a saint? There's a phenomenal book I recommend to everyone by Dom Hubert von Zeller. And the book is published by Sophia Press. I think it's called Holiness for Beginners. The very first chapter, von Zeller goes into this and says, okay, if we think of holiness as, you know, getting your name on the top of a list, if we think of holiness as someone who does all of the penances or all of the great heroic deeds, all of the, you know, great length in prayer, we're getting it wrong. Those are all things that, yes, holy people have done. But the heart of holiness, the heart of a saint, is someone who does God's will. Like, that's it. At the end of it, that's it. That's all it takes to be a saint is someone who does God's will.
Right.
And so when it comes down to it, like, oh, how important is it to do God's will? It's pretty much absolutely critical. In fact, if I don't, I'm missing out on the entire point of my life. So that is for young people, and that's for middle of the age people. And that's for the elderly as well. Just like, what does God want me to do with this very moment? That is the question.
Well, then how do I answer it? I mean, because it's...
I just wanted to set the stage, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that I have no idea.
Okay. No, well, thank you.
Yeah, that's what I got. So hopefully Carlo can get back on soon, sooner than later.
And Carlo, maybe, get in here.
Maybe he has an idea. No, it's really interesting because there are the things that God has made absolutely clear that are part of his will. And he's made these things clear through his revelation. So through the scripture and through his body on earth, the church, through the teaching office of the church, through tradition. So whatever God has revealed, so often people get bogged down with what God hasn't said in the sense of like what he hasn't revealed to me. So the big question would be, oh gosh. So let me give you an example. I remember this young man who he was up at school up here in Duluth, Minnesota, and he graduated college and he had discerned to go to the seminary and to pursue that discernment. And he did. He did a great job. But then when he was there, he recognized that, I don't think I'm called to be a priest. So he wisely discerned out and was kind of in this interim period of like, I'm not sure what I'm called to. I don't know. I don't think I'm called back to the seminary. I'm not in a relationship yet. And I remember we were talking and he just had this really important and I think it's just such a wise insight. He said, okay, so I don't necessarily know what God wants me to ultimately do here. He says, but I do know that whatever it is, he needs me to be a man of virtue. And so for me to say, well, I don't know what he wants. I don't know what he wants. Like, no. I do know what he wants. He wants me to be a man of virtue. That means he wants me to be a man who can pray and does pray. He wants me to be a man who can fast and does fast, who reaches out to his neighbor, who takes, you know, the time to call his mom and dad. Like all these small things that we think like, but what does he want me to do really? It's like, no. You know right now what he wants you to do. And what he wants you to do is obey the commandments. Pursue Jesus with your whole heart. Love him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. These are the things that like we already know. Like, so I don't have to discern, is God calling me to go to Sunday Mass? Like, yeah, the answer to that question is
right.
Yes, he is. And so that's all. So I would say the first step for any of that, like being a saint, doing God's will, is so clear. It's actually so clear that we like to complicate it so we don't have to take action.
Yes, thank you. I'm really glad in my 56th year that you made this clear to me. Thanks a lot. I've been the part that's clear is really, really big, and you can save yourself a lot of anxiety by focusing on the part that's clear.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you said it so perfectly, both those things. The part that's clear is so big. It's so massive. It's most of life.
Right.
And the second part too, just so important. You can save yourself so much anxiety by saying, okay, then if I don't know, I don't have to know everything in order to do anything. Like I don't have to know everything God wants me to do in order to do what I do know he wants me to do. And so why would I be anxious about what I don't know, let me just begin doing what I do know.
Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. Knowing God's will for your life is our topic. If you have a question for Father Mike, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father, already a bunch of folks on the line for you. Shall we go to calls?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Christopher in Virginia, watching on YouTube Live, you are first up with Father Mike Schmitz. Your question, please, Christopher.
Hi, Father Mike Schmitz. I recently went to a discernment retreat, and it didn't turn out how I thought it would. They basically said that they suggested waiting until I was like 25 or so to enter, and gave me like a few other orders to look at, and it really sort of felt like a downer to me. How should I take that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Christopher. Thank you for calling in. Especially now, one of the things I want to highlight, even just about the fact that you went on the discernment retreat and the fact that you're calling right now, is again the heart of a saint. You have the heart of a saint. Just keep that in mind because you're saying, okay, I'm going on a discernment retreat. Why? Because I want to do God's will. The reason you're calling in right now is because I still want to do God's will. So even though you've experienced this disappointment, One of the things I hear, Christopher, is that you're not giving into discouragement. And that is absolutely important. So important. So here's what I, does that make sense, first of all?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So here's the next piece I would say. There's two things I would kind of offer to you. One is in the kind of interim, and one is kind of long-term. So the shorter-term one is whenever anyone goes to visit a seminary, if they go to visit a religious community, even if they start dating someone, the idea behind it is that I'm going to go to the seminary, I'm going to go to the convent, I'm going to go to the religious community, and I'm going to know, like, if I'm supposed to be here, like, I'm absolutely going to know. One way or another, I'm going to know, nope, don't go here. Or I'm going to know, absolutely continue to, you need to be here. One of the things that I will direct whenever I invite our young men to visit the seminary, or I invite our young women to visit a religious community, is I say, set your sights on what this whole thing is all about. The whole visit is not about finding out, should I be here? The visit is simply gathering data. That's it. So the pressure is so off, like, of this, the of the course of this weekend. It's not, I'm going to go on this weekend and I'm going to find out for sure. The weekend is, I'm going to go to this weekend and, or the week or whatever the thing is, and I'm just going to have more data. Like, that's it. I'll just know a little bit more than I did before. Because, I mean, think about I don't remember doing algebra back in the day. You had to, like, you know, solve for X, but you don't have Y or W there either. Well, the challenge is, how can I solve for X if I don't know what Y is? So I go to the seminary because I don't even know what life is like in the seminary. I don't know what life is like in this monastery. I don't know if I'll like them. I don't know if they'll like me. So I go to the seminary, go to the visit, the convent, whatever the thing is. And I'm finding out more data. I'm finding out what W is, not necessarily what X is, but I'm finding out what W is. So in your case, to be able to say, so I visited this religious community, or I visited this come and see kind of a thing. And the upshot of it was, they said, maybe later. And the upshot of it, they said, check out some of these religious communities. So that isn't necessarily God's will. Meaning, what I mean by that is, it's not like they're speaking on behalf of God saying, you must go to this religious community, or you must wait until you're 25 to do the next step. What they're doing is, you're realizing, okay, there's some people who got to know me over the course of one weekend, and their recommendation was this. So again, I don't have to take it as the voice of God. What I get to take it as is, oh, there's some data here. Does that first part make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what can really be a lot of disappointment is like, oh gosh, is that what it means? Is that what, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the vocation director people and the people in the community, they have information or they have experience. Hopefully they're very, very good at their role. But at the same time, they most likely aren't necessarily Padre Pio, who can like read your soul and see, oh, you don't belong here, you do belong there, that kind of thing. They're probably giving you their wisdom based off of their experience. So take it as that. That's simply gathering data. That's the first part. The second part is to know this. I was talking with someone. I was out in Philadelphia relatively recently and giving a talk at a seminary. And at one point, this woman stood up and she had a great question. She said she knew a young man who was trying to get into the seminary, but the vocation director of the diocese and some other people in the seminary, they had discerned that he wasn't called to be a priest, at least the priest in their diocese. And that's how it goes, right? Discernment is a two-way street. And so we recognize that, okay, I discern them, but they also get to discern me. It's very much like think about a romantic relationship or a marriage relationship. If Jack meets Jill and Jack's like, oh, Jill is the one. Jill's going to be my wife. Well, Jill gets to weigh in on this too. She gets to actually be part of that discernment process. She can say yes. She can say no. She can say, let's wait and see. Same thing when it comes to a seminary, when it comes to a diocese, when it comes to a religious community. Like, I can see it and say, oh my gosh, I love the Benedictines. And I can visit their monastery, and they might say, they have the freedom to say, I'm not sure if you're going to fit. So keep that in mind. That it's always a discernment is always a two-way street. I'm discerning them, but they're also discerning me. But here's the really critical thing. The long-term thing to recognize is even if I'm not able to pursue a vocation to the priesthood, even if I believe God's calling me to marriage, but like, I haven't found anyone. I talked to so many of young adults who are like, yeah, I'd love to be married. I'd love to be in a relationship, but I'm not having the opportunity right now for various reasons. That doesn't mean that God can't make you a saint, because the vocation is the kind of the, in some ways, the vehicle to the saint, to God's will, to be that person he wants you to be. But that's not the goal. The goal isn't to be a priest. The goal isn't to be a religious sister. The goal isn't to be married. The goal is him. And so as you move forward, if there are those obstacles, or if there are those rerouting, right, where you're like, I think this is it, and you pursue it, and the road changes, my biggest prayer for you is to not be discouraged by that, to not see it as God's rejection, because God wants you to be a saint, or else you wouldn't exist. He wants you to be his fully, or else you wouldn't exist. Now, it might be as a priest. It might be as a religious, but it also might be in any number of ways. And so what I would do is I feel like I'm talking too much, but Christopher, I remember talking with this young woman who had her heart set on being a consecrated single woman in the world. And yet at the same time she was having obstacles to becoming that, because just wasn't really an option for her. But she kept seeing it as, or kept being tempted to see it as a rejection. If she couldn't be this, if she couldn't be a consecrated single person in the world, then that was Jesus rejecting her. But trying to keep coming back to her, like, oh no, the Father's already claimed you as his daughter. The Lord loves you. He's already currently making you a saint. To not hang your hopes and dreams on one particular way of becoming a saint, but hang your hopes and dreams on him. That would be my recommendation for you, Christopher, as you continue to move forward.
Christopher, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. We have to take a quick break. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. We're talking about discerning God's will for you this hour. We'll be right back with more calls for Father Mike right after this. And there's one line open. So if you want to give a call, 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com. Hi, this is Cy. The latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available right now. This week, we talk with Father Hugh Barber about whether Catholic devotion to relics is weird or pagan. Here's a little sample.
It's a legitimate form of expressing our devotion to those who are now in the glory of God and with whom we will also, God willing, share a glorious resurrection. So it's a way of expressing our faith in that. Now, this was probably the earliest, you might say, popular devotion of Christians, if you want to say popular. It was liturgical, though, too, is that the Christians first showed their devotion by observing the anniversaries of the departed, whether they were departed martyrs or just departed members of the family. And they went to their graves, and they had a little, they sometimes had mass, but they had a prayer service, and then they shared some food in honor of the departed.
You can hear the rest and get past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, joined by Father Mike Schmitz from Duluth, Minnesota, where he is for the Diocese of Duluth. He is the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry, as well as being the chaplain at the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Did you guys celebrate anybody's being made a saint last year at the Newman Center?
Oh, you know, actually, no. I personally did. Oh my gosh, how embarrassing.
No, I shouldn't have even asked. I don't know why I even brought that up.
No, it's a great question because some guys from England came here to Duluth, Minnesota to do like some interview type things. Like, what do you want to say about Cardinal Newman, Saint John Henry Newman?
Right.
And I'm like, I have so many things. I love that guy, big saint. And then the feast day came along and I'm like, well, we have other things going on.
Yeah.
So, because didn't he get canonized in, was it Advent?
I can't even remember now.
Something was happening.
I don't remember. But it's good. That's a good thing that you're too busy. That's a very positive thing that you're busy.
But the thing is, you know, there's some people who celebrate well, like they stop and they like celebrate things worth celebrating.
Yes.
And that is one of my not strengths.
Oh.
I really respect people who know to celebrate well, and because I am not one of them.
I feel like I am one of those people, but mostly because I always hold out the hope that there'll be cake. Like, I always feel like, well, it'll probably be cake. So, Andrea in Defiance, Ohio, is up next. Andrea is listening on YouTube. You there with us, Andrea?
Yes, hello.
Hi, you have a question for Father Mike Schmitz?
Yes, I was just wondering. I'm 15 years old right now, and I am, like, really, really discerning the religious faith, but I'm, like, really scared to come up with a decision, and I don't know what to do to, like, genuinely come to terms and choose God's will, and I know I'm, like, you know, just starting in the journey, basically, but I'm not sure what steps to take.
Yeah. Andrea, great question. Such a good question. And I also think that it's important to recognize that. So you're 15. When I was 15, I had a similar kind of a thing. I had encountered Jesus in the sacrament of confession in a way that is like, oh my gosh, God, you exist and you love me. And I need to find out what you want me to do with my life. And so the fact that you're 15 and asking that question is not too soon. And it's not weird. It's really, really good. So I'm really proud of you for being willing to ask that question. And so, so good. The next thing is let me offer a couple thoughts, if you don't mind, Andrea. Especially because I was scared too. So here's how I always describe it, Andrea. I'd gone to confession. It was 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. I had biked my bike over to the priest in town's house, knocked on the door to go to confession. He was there. And I always say because priests only work one day a week. But he went to confession, and I remember stepping off the front porch of that rectory, priest's house, and my first thought was, oh my gosh, God, thank you so much. Like, you've just changed my life. Thank you so much for forgiving all my sins. My second thought was, God, if you ever want me to be a priest, I will hear anyone's confession whenever they ask me. And my third thought was, wow, she's really cute. I mean, it was this kind of sense of like, it's kind of like you maybe, with that first sense of like, maybe God's calling me to a vocation, like religious life vocation, there was almost at the exact same time, some fear and some anxiety over that. And so I really had to wrestle with that fear and anxiety, maybe kind of like you in this point. So if that's a reality for you, how is this? Don't be afraid about being afraid. If that's, you know, the trap, don't be afraid about being nervous about this or it being like, but what if he does call me to be a sister? Like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, it makes complete sense. Because a lot of times we picture like the worst case scenario a lot of times. And I'm not sure if this is true for you, Andrea, but I know for myself, I always pictured like, again, the worst case scenario. Here's my picture. I saw myself, okay, if I become a priest, here's what's going to happen. I can picture myself right now sitting in northern Minnesota in the middle of the winter, looking out over like these frozen tundra fields and the winds whipping across the fields. And I'm in my rocking chair with an afghan on my lap, just by myself, like stroking my cat, like just what I'm trying to say is I picture myself so alone and so lonely. And I think, why did I choose that? You know, why did I choose that to be afraid of, that I would just be so lonely? It'd be so awful. I think sometimes it's because we don't really experience, we see marriages all over the place, and sometimes we see really great marriages, and sometimes we see marriages struggling, but we don't really see our religious sisters, or we don't really see like really happy and joyful priests. And so our minds kind of fill in the blanks of that anxious thing or that fear. So I'm going to quick stop. Andrea, does that make sense? Is that kind of what your experience is too?
Yes. Thank you.
So the next thing I would say is, gosh, okay, don't be afraid. That's number one. Here's what I always find. I don't know if you're from Ohio, Andrea, so I'm not, maybe you've gone to a Steubenville conference, but maybe you haven't been yet. But you have. Awesome. So you know how at the end of the conference, they have the vocation call?
Yes.
Where they say, hey, if there's something stirring your heart to maybe be a religious sister, then come on down, we'll pray with you. One of the things that happens a lot of times is, so you know what I'm talking about. One of the things that happens a lot of times is I will have to tell the ladies and I have to tell the guys, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go back home and you're going to get scared. You're going to go back home and you're going to, you know, the girls, you're going to see that guy and go like, oh my gosh. If I date him, I'm saying no to Jesus. Like, well, not necessarily. You're a guy. And if I date this girl, then I must be like refusing God's will. No, that's not necessarily true, because here's the key. I don't know yet what God wants me to do. And right now, Andrea, probably you don't know yet what God wants you to do. And so if you were to say, okay, I mean, when your parents allow you to date, if there's a rule on that one, for me, we couldn't date until we were 16. That would be the case if you're free to do that after that. But the heart of it is, regardless of whether or not God is calling you to be a religious sister, or he's calling you to be married, or he's calling you to be, you know, a consecrated virgin, whatever that thing is, God definitely is calling you to give him your heart. Like, this is the core. No matter what he's calling you to do, he is calling you to pray. And so I would say there's no need to be afraid of being a sister or being married or being single, because the thing he wants is the thing you want to give him, which is just your time in prayer, because he just wants your heart.
Andrea, thank you. Right back with more on how to discern God's will.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The This is Dr. David Anders. Are your friends or family discouraging you from becoming Catholic?
We can help on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
If you don't know Father Mike Schmitz, your young adults Catholic or youth Catholic probably does, because he makes wonderful videos on that are posted on the internet from Ascension Presents. He's also the director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Duluth and the chaplain for the Newman Center for the Bulldogs at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Father is with us today to talk about, well, God's will, knowing God's will for your life, the title of the hour. 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. We go now to Raquel in Connecticut, watching on YouTube Live. Hi, Raquel, your question for Father.
Hi, Father. How are you?
Hi, Raquel. I am doing phenomenally. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I actually have a question on when I'm trying to discern when is a good time to evangelize. At work, mm-hmm. I have quite a few Protestant coworkers who love to attack the Catholic Church, and it's always a back and forth. And so it's funny because I was speaking to a couple of Catholic friends that I have at my Bible study. And I had mentioned a thought that I've gotten, and I don't know where it came from, but it's something I'm afraid to preach because I don't know if mm-hmm. it's actually okay to. And so the question that came to my, or I guess the statement that came to my mind was, I don't fully base my faith on my church. I know it sounds weird, but when I say it, I mean, I love my church and I completely respect my religion. I love being Catholic, mm-hmm. but my faith is not on the Catholic Church. It's on Christ. And mm-hmm. so I'm afraid to ever say that because it's a thought I've had, but
right.
you know, I'm afraid to say it because it sounds very controversial and it sounds wrong. So
I think I understand what you're saying. In saying that, would you be trying to say something along the lines of so there's different levels of the word faith, and there's different levels of trust, different levels of the word or meanings of the word belief, right? So that sense of saying, like, okay, when it comes to salvation, I know that the source of my salvation is Jesus himself, is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is my source of my salvation. I don't see the church as the source of my salvation, but I trust that the church is the means of salvation that Jesus Christ has given to us. Would that be something similar, or would there be a little bit of a nuance you'd want to add to that?
No, that's pretty much it. Like, I would say, I know my religion will not save me, but my faith in Christ will. However, I know my church, I know God is in my church. And
yeah.
so,
yeah.
you know, I would say, like, I know my church is based on my faith, but my faith, I can't say is based on my church because it's on Christ, which the church is based on
also.
That makes
sense. And So one of the things that sounds like probably your coworkers are saying are things like, you know, Jesus didn't come to establish a religion, that you just believe in a religion and you think your religion is going to save you. But it's not your religion that saves you. It's Jesus that saves you. It's that relationship that saves you. Is that kind of maybe some of the things that you've heard them say?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to come across without sounding like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I really appreciate this because this is a great opportunity to be able to establish, like, let's go back to the question and say, okay, so did Jesus Christ establish a church? And we see him establishing a church in, you know, Matthew 16, Jesus says, you are Peter and upon this rock, build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He makes it really clear. I mean, it's so amazing how we read, especially Matthew's gospel, where we see this is absolutely clear that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was going to reestablish the kingdom. That this is one of the things the Messiah was going to do. And so, so there's this there's a Jewish rabbi who wrote a book years ago, a number of years ago, and he said, okay, I as a 21st century or 20th century Jewish rabbi don't accept Jesus. But what if I was a first century Jewish rabbi and Jesus was Jesus, you know, and I saw him doing what the Gospels say he was doing, would I have followed him? And so what he did was, he's the kind of idea of like a 21st century rabbi examines the claims of Jesus. And he says, wow, so if all these things they're saying about Jesus is true, he's the Messiah, except for one thing. He said that the one thing the Messiah was going to do that I don't see Jesus having done, he was going to restore the kingdom. And so there was a very smart Catholic who wrote back to him, and his name is Pope Benedict. And he wrote in response to this book, he wrote the book, Jesus of Nazareth. And in Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, makes it absolutely clear that Jesus does establish a kingdom. Like Jesus actually is the fulfillment, because the Messiah must establish a kingdom. How does he do it? He establishes, he creates the church. And you can think about this, Raquel, you can think about, like, you to point this out to your friends as well, is that, yes, if Jesus simply came to, like, give us a relationship with himself, then he wouldn't do a lot of the things he's doing. He wouldn't have been the Messiah, because go back to Matthew's gospel, again, Matthew, where Jesus, John the Baptist is beheaded, and Jesus goes up to the Sea of Galilee. And it says immediately he begins to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom is here. And he goes up to the Sea of Galilee to a region called Zebulun and Naphtali. And those are the two tribes, the first two tribes that get demolished from the kingdom of Israel, Zebulun and Naphtali. And he goes there, and he actually even cites, Matthew cites Isaiah's prophecy about Zebulun and Naphtali becoming a light to the Gentiles and a pathway for people coming back to the Lord. And in that place, Jesus begins calling Peter and Andrew, and he begins calling James and John, these four guys. And then how many does he completely call? Calls 12. Why? For each one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jesus establishes the fact that he is establishing a kingdom, which means he is fulfilling the Jewish religion by establishing the new covenant, the new church. Is that, I know that may be like too far afield to go into with your coworkers, but for you to know that Jesus gave us as a means of salvation, he gave us the church. He did not leave, he said, I don't leave the orphan. And he gave us the means of salvation. The means of salvation is the Catholic Church. Last thing I'll say is, especially for those people who would say, I love Jesus, but I hate religion, or I love Jesus, but I hate the church. I love Jesus, but the church is optional, that kind of a thing. There's a couple questions I would ask. And say, okay, if that's the case, then how do you know anything about Jesus? Say, well, I have the Bible. Okay, where'd you get the Bible? You get the Bible from the Catholic Church. If you love Jesus, well, is he God or is he man? Or is he both? Is he half either? Like, no, Jesus is fully God, fully man. How do you know Jesus is fully God and fully man? Well, because everyone knows it. Like, no, that actually was contested. It wasn't until the Council of Nicaea in the year 325 that the Catholic Church made it absolutely clear that Jesus is fully God and fully man. How do you know if the Holy Spirit is, you know, co-equal with the Father and the Son? Well, I just know it. Like, no, you don't. You know it because there's a Council of Constantinople in 381. So what I'm trying to say is everything that our brothers and sisters believe about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about God the Father, about the Trinity, everything that they believe about comes from the Catholic Church. So you'd say, I don't need the church. Well, if you didn't have the church, A, you wouldn't have the Bible, and B, who knows what you would believe about the nature of Christ. Does that make some sense?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Raquel, thank you.
And the last... Go
ahead, Father.
Yeah. Sorry, could I have one more side?
Sure. Yes. You have time. Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is a little bit gross, and I apologize right away. I'm going to do it anyway, though. Someone says, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Or I love Jesus, I don't need the church. Jesus says that he's the head of the church, and the church is his body. And this is kind of the gross image. But whenever someone says that they love Jesus, but they don't need the church, I always have this image of someone like cradling a decapitated or a disembodied head of Jesus. And like just kind of in the crook of their arms, kind of stroking Jesus' hair. Like, I love Jesus kind of thing, but I don't want his body. Like, listen, you don't want to decapitate Jesus from his body. He said that his body is the church. So that means if we love the head, we have to also love the body.
You're ready, Rachel.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're ready. Head back there, Rachel. You're ready to go.
25 minutes later. I apologize.
Thank you, Rachel. Raquel. Thank you very, very much. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. This hour, we're talking about understanding and finding and knowing God's will in your life. 888-318-7884 is the number. I want to remind you again that we've got that challenge for the 20 Answers books. Catholic Answers has now produced 38 different 20 Answers books on topics ranging from Jesus and Mary to the sacraments to Eastern Catholicism to moral issues. 38 books, and it's all 60% off right now. We'll send you all 38 books when you buy the series. At 60% off, and we'll give you free shipping anywhere in the continental United States because we believe that people in Alaska and Hawaii should not read these books. Just go to shop.catholic.com. Shop.catholic.com, get 60% off the 38 book set and get free shipping within the continental United States.
Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
People always ask me, Father, how should we pray? Well, there's several ways we can do it, but the most important is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to pray from our heart. We have to pray honestly and sincerely. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us so that we're not just simply saying words, but we're saying words that can actually change us. Prayer, if it changes us, then we're doing it right.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. Carlo Broussard, next hour, will be here with the Bible Blueprint for the Eucharist. If you'd like to know the biblical roots of what we Catholics do the celebration of the Eucharist, actually, I shouldn't say just we Catholics, because it's really most Christians everywhere in the world, if you include the Orthodox. So, sorry, I didn't mean to leave you out, Orthodox people. But what are we doing when we celebrate the Eucharist as Christ commanded us? Well, we can find the roots of that in the Bible, and we'll look for the blueprint there in the next hour. This hour, Father Mike Schmitz, our guest, as I said, and we're talking about discerning the Lord's will. Mauro in Florida, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Mauro, we haven't heard from you for a long time. Nice to hear, to have you back.
Yes. Hello, Si. It's a pleasure to be back on air. It's been quite some time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, Father, thank you so much for your amazing gifts to the church and to the laity. I very much love your content on YouTube. You've also inspired me to do a lot of my own videos as well. So thank you so much for your wisdom and for sharing your gifts, especially with those of us who are young adults. So thank you so much for that, Father.
That means a lot. Thank you very much.
Yes. And my question is a little bit interesting because I've been having this conflict. Maybe conflict is a bit of a strong word. But I've been having this internal pull between the married life and the priesthood. And several years back, I actually even discerned going into the Byzantine priesthood because the Eastern Catholic Church very much called me to it. And then it seemed to be like I discerned out of it. And then recently I've been noticing that a lot of the a lot of the relationship, the women that I meet, and these are beautiful Catholic women, and I start talking to them, but it seems to go nowhere. So I find myself stuck in a situation where nothing is happening in either direction. And I guess I wanted to ask you if you've ever had in your lifetime something like this happen to you, and some practical ways that I could start to be a little bit more intentional about discerning personally for myself. So that is a little bit of a question slash situation, if you will, Father.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I appreciate your reaching out. One of the things that, one of the things that I know I'm speaking into something that I don't like into your life, into your experience that isn't necessarily, I only know what you just mentioned in the last 30 seconds. So I apologize that my information is limited, but one of the things that is really helpful is the reality that it's easier to steer a moving ship than it is to steer a ship that's standing still. And so what does that mean? That means I look for the opportunities where the Lord is calling me to move out of myself. Because regardless of whatever the vocation is, the particular vocation, every vocation is actually an invitation out of myself. And so when it comes to, are there romantic relationships that are available? Well, I might not know until I get out of myself, you know, and kind of do that active pursuit. When it comes to if I need to take a look at the seminary again, that sense of like, I need to be moving and kind of moving out of myself. But if there's no option, like, these are great gals, but I don't know, we're not really connecting. Where are the friendships in your life where you can actually serve, where you can pour yourself out? And it might not even, like, you might even be in a place where you say, I don't have a ton of friends, but then I'd say, okay, where can you be a friend? And that's such an important thing. I think, especially knowing that we are in such a culture that's so disconnected from each other, and we don't really feel like we belong to each other. In that sense, that I don't have a responsibility towards the people that are around me. To be able to even make that decision to take responsibility for the people who are around you, whether that be your friends, your family members, or it could be people in your parish, to like cease being a nomad. I don't know if that's you right now, you know, but to cease being a nomad when it comes to where you go to Mass and say, no, this is where I'm putting down roots so that I can take responsibility for the people around. When I say that, I don't mean like you become the busybody of the parish. What I do mean is, where can I serve? One of the mottos I think is so important that we have kind of embraced in our community up here on campus is the motto, see a need, fill a need. And because what I want to get into our students' minds is in their hearts is that sense of, I don't necessarily need permission to do something good. I just need to be able to see it and know if I can fill that need or not. So the first thing I would say, Mauro, is I would look for an opportunity to serve, look for an opportunity to move. If that movement looks like a dating relationship, great. If it looks like seminary, great. But it does mean taking steps. So I'm going to press pause on that. Any thoughts on that?
Yes. It's actually very interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the needs that I see in my community here is actually the need to have, funny enough, is to have a healthy Catholic entrepreneurial group where, you know, friends can come together, and I'm a business person. So that was actually a need, and I've actually been talking to people about that. And in that process, I've actually gotten a lot of interest. So that's one need that I'm actually filling. It's not directly tied into a little bit what I'm talking about, but it's actually very funny that you just started talking about that naturally. So that need is definitely there. And I actually, you know, I've been kind of like you said, I'm a little bit of a nomad. I've been going to a lot of different groups. So I guess what I've gotten from this is to continue moving, to continue going forward, and be open to whatever needs open up. That's so far what I've gotten, just to keep moving.
Yeah, and I would say that's really good, because I would say moving, but also maybe this is where you're at. And if it's not, then again, I'm not a guru here, so you can take it or leave it. But what I can find is moving forward, excuse me, but also deciding to even even if it's only temporary, but deciding to commit to a community, deciding to commit to a group of people. Now that, again, that commitment can simply be your family in the area. Your commitment can be the people who are already your friends, or that commitment could be like, here's my parish. Like, this is the community that I'm going to take responsibility for. One of the things that is it a Mother Teresa quote? I think she said something, one of the tragedies is that we've forgotten that we belong to each other. And one of the things that, like I mentioned, the nomadic kind of life that so many young people experience is because, you know, you grow up, you get a certain age, and you leave your family. You leave the town you grew up in. You leave all the people who know you, who care about you, who love you, and you try to find you try to make your way in a place where no one knows you, no one cares about you, no one loves you. And so why do we find ourselves so lonely as young adults? Is, well, because the essential building block of civilization is the family, and we've uprooted ourselves from our family, so we don't belong to anybody except for this kind of loose association of friends or business associates or coworkers. And so my invitation would be to recover that sense. I have to, at least to some degree, say, okay, I have a responsibility to this person or to these people. It doesn't have to be like you're covenanting yourself to them, but it can progress in an organic but intentional way. And I think that could be a really helpful way for a lot of people, young or old, to move forward.
Mauro, thanks very much. I'm going to keep moving because we only have Father Mike Schmitz for so long, and there are lots of folks who want to ask him questions. So we go to Scott Scott's in Alaska, listening on 94.1 FM. Hope you didn't hear what I said about Alaska before, Scott.
No, I vaguely heard a reference, but I didn't catch it all.
It was about how much we all love Alaska. Yes.
Thanks for taking the call. Father, I have a kind of a, this may sound a bit presumptuous and I don't mean it to be so, but for the last few years, I feel like I've been in this like Book of Job scenario. The only difference, he was a righteous man and I've been somewhat of a relapsing sinner. And I guess when I'm feeling most joyous and hopeful is when I relinquish and I begin to surrender and trust. And that's kind of had this transformative experience in my life, and just in more ways than none, but especially like predominantly becoming more charitable. I was like a finance business student and I used to just cling to that. And I was very like, that was like my pinnacle before I returned to the church. And letting that go, it's like this whole new world of opportunities opens up. Yet then every so often when I return to kind of the spirit of the world and the reason of the world, that seems to be when I like snap back and I'm like, I completely doubt my faith. And I think like, oh man, am I crazy? And that simultaneously results in a fall. And then as soon as I begin to rebuild myself, I realize, well, for those moments that I want to like return and cling back to the securities of money and the idea of a fancy career and all these things, then I realize that I don't really want those things. They're kind of just void and empty. What I really want is that purpose and meaning that's driving me, and everything else, if it's kind of just superfluous and it's a, you know, icing or, you know, a cherry on the cake or something of that sort. But I just spoke with a priest and he mentioned the Book of Job, and I've been kind of in this scenario because it terrifies me at times, and I don't know how concrete I am able to trust in that process. Because
Scott, I'm going to have to let Father answer or at least respond to you because we are right up against it now. Father?
Yeah, no, Scott, thank you for that. You mentioned the priest mentioning the Book of Job. One of the things that it sounds like I'm hearing from you is the line from Jesus where he says, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be given to you besides. Where he says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. And what I hear is, and I could be, excuse me, I could be wrong on this, but what I hear is you saying, when I get my priorities in line, I have peace. I have an interior peace and interior joy. We call the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When I get those priorities in line, when actually it's so clear that God is first, it's good. And then what happens is, you know, it's like a garden that goes unweeded gets overgrown. And just kind of like a car that doesn't, you're keeping it in the center line or between the lines, it's going to veer off the side. He's like, when those priorities get out of line, then what happens is I lose that peace. I love that you said I even start asking, like, what the heck? What am I doing? What am I believing in the first place? Because that is actually the trick. I mean, that is one of the enemy's big tricks. It's when we fall in sin, or when we give our hearts to something or someone other than the Lord, we can look at it and go, like, wait a second, why did I believe this in the first place? Because this seems empty. It seems hollow and false. And yet, when you do what you just said, which is, when I put him first, when I actually choose to put the priority number one in the number one spot, I experience not only peace and joy, but I also experience the confidence of, yeah, the Lord loves me, even in pain, like even in the midst of our own brokenness, even in the midst of our own woundedness and falls. What I hear you saying is, it's about that. So I don't know if you knew this, Scott, but up until, gosh, what was it? Not too long ago, the word priority was always a singular. And recently, in the last, I guess, you know, X number of years, we have made priority into a plural. We can't have more than one priority. There's only one. And it sounds like when you get the Lord as a priority, the things fall into place. And when he gets usurped, that's when things fall apart.
Scott, you can probably hear the music. We have to leave it there. Father Mike Schmitz, thank you very, very much for taking the time with us. It's always a great privilege to have you here. Where can people find you on the internet?
Also, the people who called in, let them know that I'm praying for them, and because it's just a quick answer. But what I can do is I can pray for them. They can find me on iTunes. We have a weekly Sunday podcast, as well as on the YouTube for Ascension Presents.
Okay, YouTube for Ascension Presents. I see him. He's coming into the studio. Carlo Broussard's here. We're going to talk about the Bible blueprint for the Eucharist right after this.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.